Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is going to be a ride of your life, man. You're going to have so much fun listening to this podcast. I have to give you some backstory before I introduce who I'm bringing on. So for those of you guys who are coming to Funnel Hacking Live, you probably have heard that we've had these culture t-shirts that we've had people going out trying to create and build. Basically meaning, if you have your own little culture that's going to be at Funnel Hacking Live, we want to make sure that we created a t-shirt for you that is for that. And so we had all these things going and you know, different people, a lot of the people you are kind of in our normal culture you've heard about. And then literally out of the blue, this Donahue character just blows up. I'm like, who the heck is Donahue? I don't even know who this person is. And it doesn't just blow up. This is one of those things where the people are so passionate about who they're supporting. I'm like, I've got to figure this out. So trying to figure all this out, I want to introduce you to Donahue, who actually is Bobby Stocks, who has a business strategist, eight-figure business owner, blowing things up all around the world, lives in Puerto Rico with his wife, Rachel, on the beach, smoking cigars, having the time of his life, but has this crazy passionate following. So with all that said, welcome to the show, Bobby, and let's kind of dive in and talk about this whole story.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to be here. And I always love talking about Donahue. So just to open up the curtains behind the Wizard of Oz. So Donahue is a social experiment. So in 2011, I trolled my local town, me and my buddy, and we came up with a business opportunity called the Donahue Job Site. And we named the opportunity off of a funeral home that's called the Donahue. And we took some pictures of us inside like heavy machinery, and we kind of positioned it like we had bought a plot of land that we were mining for pay dirt. So what happened was, over a couple of months of us talking about how great this opportunity was and how excited we were about it, people started to message me and they wanted to invest in it. And it was just a hilarious thing. We it was a joke. So anyway, let's go back. Last year, I had one of my small masterminds in Vegas, and one of our attendees was from the town that I grew up in, which is Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb right out of Philadelphia. And he brought up Donahue. He said, he's like, do you remember Donahue? And I'm like, oh my God, I remember Donahue. We start laughing about it. And I said, you know what? Let's try this again, but in the internet marketing space. So that was March of last year that we did that. And so really, what we did was we took the power of a mascot or this, like a symbol, you could say a deity or something like that. And then we also stacked on top of it status and social proof, right? So by creating a small inner circle of two other people that knew about Donahue, and we said, let's talk about Donahue. So the only rule of Donahue is talk about Donahue. We just started talking about it, like he was this guru, internet marketing guru. And because of social status, it started spreading really easily, right? So when we post a lot of proof, and a lot of like our students or our clients or even our own funnels that we run, it's all about proof these days. The more proof you can show, the safer it is for somebody to make a decision, right? And it goes to the lizard brain and, just are they going to die if they buy this? So by constantly posting about how great Donahue is, his greatness, his smartness, and I always envisioned Donahue as like the Dos Equis guy. I put that in my head when we were doing it. We're like, yeah, he's like the mentor of the Dos Equis guy.
He's the mysterious man in the world.
Yeah. So anyway, people started reaching out to us. What is this Donahue? How do I learn more about Donahue? And how we started spreading it was by using status. So I would say, I'm not really supposed to tell anybody about Donahue, but I'll let you in on it. Do you promise not to tell anybody? Right? So now I create the separation. And they would say, I promise. And I would say, it's a complete joke. Here's Donahue. This is what it is. Which then would then have them inside the tribe, right? And then they would look for opportunities to create the gap in status. So as soon as I posted about Donahue, everybody else would jump in on it. And they'd say, Donahue's the greatest, because everybody wants to be inside the tribe. So that's how it spread. I mean, it got to the point where, like, I had Jason Horning and all types of people reaching out to me wanting to know what Donahue was. And, you know, I pulled the same thing. Well, you shouldn't tell anybody about Donahue. So where we started to bring the mascot in is as get the little pup here. As the status grew of Donahue, I then said, how can I pull authority from the mascot? So, like, one thing I started to learn throughout this, and we see this, you know, you see this in just regular mascots, right? If you were at a baseball game and, you know, nobody's embarrassed to get a picture with the mascot of the baseball team. Everybody's excited to do it, right? But you can't self-promote the same way a mascot can self-promote itself, because you threaten other people's status and sure. They go, who's this guy? So what I realized was I could self-promote onto Donahue. So I could cast self-promotion onto Donahue, and then I could start to actually transfer the authority back onto myself. So the way I did that was I just looked at religion, right? So I said, I'm the Pope. I have access to Donahue. You know, this is what Donahue says. So that's kind of like, you know, there's a lot to it that we did and it worked. But yeah, that's kind of the synopsis of what Donahue is. It's just a really, really hilarious example of how positioning, status, and proof, and, you know, constantly talking about proof results in a big way and marketing that, it's, you know, human beings cannot withstand it. They can only withstand for a certain period of time, and then curiosity, opportunity, and all that just takes over.
You know, I think, and again, this, one main thing I want to kind of get out as we were talking about this here is Pete, for, I want you guys who are listening to understand the power of proof, the power of a social culture. We talk a lot about culture all the time, but then also that transfer of authority is so critical. And I think that in marketing, obviously it can be used for good and for bad. And I'm not going to, that's not what this podcast is about. It's not, that's not the issue. I want you to learn from it, though. I want you to understand. I had a conversation with a very large player, a big influencer, and he was talking about Bob Hope, who he knew years ago. And Bob Hope basically woke up every morning just saying, well, I just want to make sure somebody's talking about Bob Hope today. How do I make sure somebody's talking about Bob Hope? I've got to keep that name out there on an ongoing basis. And so his whole thing was, how do I make sure people are still talking about me without doing what you said? And that is without beating my own drum, without, you know, I'm the greatest type. It's not a Muhammad Ali type of approach. As much as it is, that proof is fascinating, how if you can get enough proof to back it up. And again, I was looking through, I mean, the stories of your success in the mortgage industry, in the real estate industry, in the fitness industry, with coaches and with landscape. I mean, all that, you have so much proof that it's easy to use that. And so I wanted to kind of find out, how do you, because some people are going to be listening to this going, well, you know, Dave, I'm just kind of getting started. I don't have proof. How do I get proof? And then the others are going to go, well, I have proof, but I've never done a real good job of, I'm afraid to either ask for the testimonials or to use that proof. So if you don't mind, Bobby, talking about both those two things.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like the game changer was for me, was that exact situation I see a lot of people are in. So, we raced back to Temecula here, but we were interviewing another one of our students, Luke, who lives in Lemon Grove, California. And he has the kind of the cookie cutter story of a lot of there's so many marketers out there that are talented that, you know, they have a few clients or they have a few products that they got really great results with. But they're what I say that I call they're not in the money lane, right? Nobody knows about them. You know, they're kind of waiting for the spotlight to hit them. When's it going to be my turn that the spotlight hits me? And, you know, life is always a paradox, right? It's like you have to pull the spotlight onto you. So, because the spotlight's always on the star, right? And the stars do a lot of work to make sure that spotlight is on them. So, like, when I started to really pick up steam, my first Facebook ad, I think I ran in like 2012, 2013. And, you know, when I really started to get attention was when I started to point out attention on my proof, right? And I only had a few clients, you know, I was the master of all, you know, or the I was doing everything, not the master of all, right? You know, I was doing the sales, I was doing the recruiting, I was doing the retention, I was doing the finances, I was doing it all. So it was really hard to gain momentum. But once I really started posting proof, and I would say for anybody who's like, well, how do I do it? It's not necessarily like there's so many different ways that we can spread out our proof, right? Like we could take a testimonial video and turn it into a blog and put it on YouTube and turn it into an advertorial. And, you know, it's too easy to get caught up in all the things that we could do, right? So what I did was I was doing pretty well, like 10K a month in 2016. And I finally had this moment where basically my wife was like tired of hearing me talk about how like big I was going to grow this agency. And I was never posting any kind of proof. Every once in a while, I would post something. Let's say today I generated, you know, I had a really great day. I would post maybe today, but then you wouldn't hear from me again. So in December of 2016, I just committed to posting 30 days of proof. So every day I would post another version of proof. Now, you know, if you're on here and you're like, hey, I have one client, right? You can create 30 versions of that, right? You can break down the process. You know, you can take screenshots of the landing page, the ad, what's working about that. And it's really, it goes back to like what I saw with Donahue, right? All it is your excitement and you're posting your confidence. And, you know, December 2016, no, I was doing anywhere between 5 or 10K that whole, you know, the half of that year. And because I started posting proof consistently like that, January 2017, boom, I do $30,000, right? And I've never done less than that. And it's just continually doing that. Like you said, if you see my feed, I just continually post proof. Sometimes I will post proof from 6 months ago. And I'll just reposition it again, like, you know, if this is where, so I just continually take, collect as much proof as possible. And it brings in quality people. So it creates this like compounding effect. You know, and so we've been able, like just based off of that, we were able to scale really, really hard. You know, now we're doing like $500,000 months. And even with all, like, it just keeps compounding and compounding, but I've seen just the posting of proof and being really committed to like putting at least one thing out like every day or every other day, that's just pure results. You know, so Luke, we came from, and he's gone in the last 8 months from struggling to make 3 or 5 to, you know, this month, I think he surpassed 50K in revenue, just an agency model. He's not doing any kind of coaching or consulting or anything like that. And it's just because his marketplace, when they think of Luke, they think of proof. Right. And it's like the Donald Trump effect, you know, just one simple, like, what do you want people to know you as? You know, Dan Kennedy kind of talked about some stuff like that. You know, what do you want to be known as? What do you want to be known for? And it's really important, you know, keep it simple. And then from there, you can start getting more complicated in how you're spreading it out and, you know, do stuff like now I'm, you know, making a documentary, but I have the resources to do it now. I have tons and tons of proof, but just a little sliver of what you have can make it work. And even if it's your own results, you know, you just need to really, you know, good marketing really, it exaggerates it. It dramatic. It's like a good play. There's a lot of drama and entertainment in it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I think it was fun. I was reading through your page at, you know, bobbystocks.com and just, you're an amazing writer, by the way. And it was fun just hearing that, you know, in college, your big thing was creative writing. And
yeah, that was like about all I was good at.
But it's cool to see that if that was the only one good thing, you've been able to take that one good thing and apply it to your marketing as well. And I think that it's fascinating for me. And I think I want to make sure people, as you guys are listening, to understand that the importance of getting that proof out there on a regular basis, people aren't seeing as much of your stuff as you are. And you've got to make sure you're talking about it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We've seen the same thing happen as far as ClickFunnels. For us, one of the main things has been telling the story of our two Comic Club award-winning stories have been one of the biggest things that have blown us up, because now we've got people using those plaques as their ads on Facebook. Now we've got our eight-figure award winners. And it's been a fascinating thing for us as we've looked at marketing is when we first started, it was all about what Russell did before ClickFunnels. It was, let me tell you about this funnel I created before ClickFunnels, basically. And then once we got into it, well, let me show you some of the stuff we've been doing. And now for us, our greatest success comes by telling the success stories of our customers and our clients. Yep. And even more so, if we go one level deeper, and that is the success stories of our customer successes, meaning whether it's, you know, Brandon, Caitlin, Poulin, and Lady Boss, and we're talking about their customer success and all they're having, or we're talking about Alex Moore, pick any one of their, you know, the poster child children that have been used as far as ClickFunnels or ads. Now it's more about their customers and what they're doing and the impact that they're having. And I think it's real important when you first start from a proof standpoint, you may only literally have your own funnel, and that's okay. And I think it's important that you use it. So I appreciate, I really do appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah, it's kind of the rock and the hard place. I had a mentor that I paid a lot of money. He was a mindset guy, and I was kind of stuck, and I was stuck in that spot, right? Because, you know, if you have a couple clients, you have proof and you're not posting it, it's really like it's a confidence issue, and the confidence issue usually lands somewhere in, you know, do I have the ability or the skills to, you know, get my clients' results?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's actually a really good place to come from, right? You know, there's plenty of people out there that they're not concerned about that. Right. And it's easy for them to go out. So it's a really positive place, but it can also be, you know, an Achilles heel. So I was talking to this mentor, and I said, well, I don't know if I can get them the same results. And I would always have some reasons why, or it's a different area, or I don't know, I'm afraid. And, you know, he went over a couple simple things that are true. Right. One of which is that, if you want to achieve great things, you commit to achieving them and you figure out how to do them along the way, right? The guy that ran the 7-minute mile said he could, or the 4-minute mile said he couldn't do it, right? He did it. The next year, 700 or 800 people did it. You know, the Wright brothers, mathematically, they said that air travel wasn't possible. The Wright brothers did it anyway. So if you're in a place of where you think it's not possible, know that it is possible. And that it may feel impossible, and you just gotta go and be committed to doing it. So the other thing was, he said, I hear that, you know, I hear that you're afraid you're not gonna get the results. Let's just play this out. So if they were to hire you and you didn't get the results, what would you do? And I said, you know, I would do whatever I could to try to figure out how to get them results. And he said, okay, so can you make that your commitment? And he kind of like, it shifted for me there, because what I realized was when I talked to a prospect, my commitment was about that I'm going to do whatever I can to get you results. What that's going to look like, I don't know, right? Because in marketing, you know, we all want this like cookie cutter thing that's going to work everywhere. And the reality is that like, you get lucky, and sometimes it worked here, it worked there, it worked with this industry, but most times it's some variation or crazy tweak that's actually going to get you the really good results. But if you're committed to, you know, getting them results, and that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get them results, likely human beings have a really good knack at somehow magically coming up with a solution to fix that problem. And I can tell you, like, all the niches that I've cracked and all the funnel, all of it, it's always some random thing that, you know, pardon my French, it's kind of like I'm a professional throw shit against the wall kind of guy, and something sticks, and then everybody, you know, throws you a ticker tape parade because some stuff stuck, you know? And I mean, that's the reality. You know, we like to market it like, you know, I have some magical ball in some back room that tells me what to do. But the reality is I got some fundamental stuff, you know, and you throw enough stuff against the wall and you end up making a lot of money.
I love it. I totally agree. Tell me, I know you've may mention you've literally been in a ton of different industries. I see it on your website and everything else. You kind of focus in different ones. As you're coaching your clients and things, you may mention as far as Luke, he's kind of known as this guy in this industry. Do you find as an agency that it's easier to be, you know, basically someone who's involved in a whole bunch of different industries or just to pick one industry? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, so I think it's best to start out. I had cracked a lot of different niches before I really started scaling. And mortgage was actually like my least favorite. But the prospect flow was there, meaning like the B2B flow was there. So I got really committed to like, I want to grow the agency. My zone of genius is in the lead generation. It's not in talking to the clients. It's not in the delivery necessarily. I like to figure out how to peel a bag of 50 pound potatoes, but then I'm done and I want somebody else to do that. So once I realized like, okay, there is a need in this market and I'm going to put aside whether I am passionate about the market or not, and I'm going to scale it. So, you know, that's what worked for me. And then once that got scaled, I could start to move into other industries. So, I mean, rule of thumb for us is we try to stick and scale in an industry in 6 month intervals. But like if somebody's brand new, what I've seen work really well is pick like three industries that are used the exact same systems. So, and then whichever one responds on the B2B side, meaning like there is a real interest that they're looking to get more business, then just go to town on that and then come knock down the other ones later on. Usually, you know, you just ask somebody, where's your money coming from? And it's usually coming from one niche or, you know, they're getting better prospect leads from one than the other. I think too many people put too much emphasis in the beginning on nailing out a particular niche, but they don't have any real data on it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been one of the things I've seen, especially when you're first getting started, it's like, you just have to have a success. Just go make something happen.
Right.
Make something stick and then go, okay, this one's gonna work for me here.
Yeah, I mean, it's we have some guys that will pick five and they just blast cold emails out, whichever one starts responding the most. They're like, this one's good to go. Now let's get more serious in it. Let's start building out the assets and stuff like that.
Awesome. One last topic I want to cover with you before we bounce off here. And that is, you are amazing at being transparent. And in today's social media and everything else, there's so many facades on Instagram or wherever else might be, but you're not ashamed of your past. You're not ashamed of what's happened and everything else. You're actually use that in your marketing to say, it's because of where I've been that I can help you. And so I wanted to kind of have you address the importance of transparency as an agency owner, how you've used it, what works and what doesn't, and when is too much.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, everybody's story is different. You know, mine was basically, I'd probably be dead if it wasn't for, you know, the recovery community. So in 2008, I got sober at the age of 25. And that's really like when my entrepreneur spirit started to come back alive. And then, you know, I just took a long road of, you know, transformational information and men's workshops and therapy and you name it, every book in the, you know, I think that's when one of the times I first started learning marketing, somehow through my Tony Robbins obsession, I found like Chet Holmes and I was like, this is interesting. But from a growth standpoint, you know, you don't hear a lot of people talk about it on the front end because everybody loves to buy tactics. But the reality is, it's like, if you're not doing inner work, It's really hard to grow an agency to a big, big level. You know, we have like 25 people that are on our team, and our C team has been together for, you know, we're going on a third year. And the type of things that we do in order to do that, like that, and that's why I'm so open about my past. Like, if it wasn't for, you know, me being a drug addict, a convicted felon, and just really having a miserable life for so long, and then basically, you know, my story is I had a white light experience and I haven't had a drink or drug in 11 years, so it'll be on February 15th.
Congratulations, by the way. It's super impressive.
Well, like I said, a white light experience. Like, I do not believe that it was of my own doing. You know, I experienced something and heard and saw some stuff that is beyond my understanding. And it was just removed from me. I felt like I woke up in a different body and in a new experience. But, you know, I was also a child when I woke up in that point. I had to relearn, like, how to deal with life and what's important. But all that stuff is like, you know, our team is like a family, and we have discussions like a family. You know, we have what we call clearings, where if I have a problem with another team member, we have a safe space where we step in front of each other and I say, this is what my problem is, and this is how it's making me feel, and this is what my judgment is of when they do that. And it's the only way to grow massively and have everybody so committed to grow in the agency, because it's their baby, right?
I really appreciate your mentioning that, Bobby, because I see a lot of people who start off as a solopreneur. And then as your agency starts to grow, and we're doing the same thing inside of ClickFunnels, where we have our own internal agency, and now we've talked at Funnel Hacking Live, we're gonna roll out this whole idea as far as the waffle and all that, basically ability to scale a matrix and all that kind of stuff. And I've seen it, as you mentioned, your own C-level team, we're in the same situation. You know, ClickFunnels is going on 4.5 years. We had the same people from the beginning. And it's interesting to me to see, I literally had this conversation with Russell just the other day, and that is, yeah, we did 100 million last year, but for us to do 250 or to 500 million, who do I have to become right to lead that? Because the person who I was to get here will never get me to where I need to go. And so I think, as you mentioned there, that transformation, wherever you are in your business, you have to always be doing that type of stuff to grow to that next level.
Yeah, we call it the dialogue. We use stuff from a therapist called Harville Hendricks, which is called Imago Dialogue, which is really a relationship, a marital relationship process, but we use it in the business sense. And yeah, it unlocks everything. So we just had our team meeting in Tahoe, for our C-level, and we had some fun and went snowboarding or snowmobiling and all that. But, you know, the result of that meeting was that I stepped down as leader of our agency. And the reason being is because after having a dialogue, I realized that my skill set, I'm an ideas, strategy, you know, front man, go. That's what was needed to get us, you know, to the level we are, you know, 5 million, 6 million, that's what we need, right? But now it's not what we need. The last thing we need is another idea.
Totally right?
So now we have somebody who's very operational minded, who's risk averse, who stepped in, and I said, you're in charge. You know, I will step into my role, which I'm best at, which is, you know, strategy, looking at how we can different position things, and that's it. And I'm fine with that because of the dialogue, and because everybody has that voice. And everybody's looked at as, you know, how do they feel? How do they feel when one team member does that versus this? You know, I don't want to hurt everybody else in my business. I would not be where I am if it wasn't for them, you know? And everybody knows who they are. I talk about them. People try to take them away from me, offer them more money. But they don't leave because the way we have the dialogue, because of the culture that we put together. And that's what, I mean, ultimately, that's what makes business fun. Because, you know, I've heard other people say, it's like when you start making a ton of money, it's great. And you're like, that shine wears off.
I totally agree.
That's a carrot you can't ever catch if that's the carrot that you want to stay fixated on.
Yeah. Yeah, I so appreciate that. It's one of the things, who knows whatever's going to happen long-term with ClickFunnels. But if it ever years down the road, decide to do something, sell it beyond, that core group will go do something else. I mean, it's just
exactly. Yeah.
It's just that nucleus, and whether it's here or someplace else, it'll still be fun.
Yeah. Well, the beauty is that connection. You start to know what they're thinking. They know.
Oh yeah.
You become like this brain.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time a ton. I thank you so much for taking time. I know you're out literally traveling, building this huge documentary on Proof and everything else that you guys have been doing. So thank you for jumping on. Any parting words you want to give to our audience or our listeners here?
I don't know. Just, I have a mission statement that I said it the other day when we were on TV, and some people messaged me about it. And I think it's a good one. It's like my mission statement, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs will fit into this, is that I'm committed to living fearless so that other people can live fearless, right? And if you think about the community that ClickFunnels is and, these other communities, we're all looking to those who've broken through, right? So you got to share your successes, your breakthroughs, and even the failures to breakthroughs, because the sun doesn't shine without the dark, right? All of my breakthroughs came off the back of seemingly the worst situations I'd ever been in, So, live fearlessly so that other people can have the courage to do the same thing.
I love it. We're going to leave on those words. Bobby, thank you so much, bud. Love having you on.
Awesome, Dave. Thanks.
Hey, everyone, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I can tell you the things I love more than anything else aside from listening to podcasts is reading books. One of my favorite books was the very first book that Russell wrote. It's called Dotcom Secrets. It's the underground playbook for growing your company online. So if you've already got a business or an idea and you got something you want to get going right away, go ahead, check it out. We literally will give you the book for free. You just pay the $7.95 shipping and handling. Just go to dotcomsecrets.com and we'll go ahead, we'll ship you out the book. You just pay $7.95 shipping and handling and the book will be on its way to you. Thanks again so much for listening. And remember, you're just one funnel away.